online from Delta State, Sister Charity. God bless you, sir. I can't stop thanking God for connecting me with Bright TV. It's the only channel I don't get tired of watching. And I understand the entire message better. I did my water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ in 2010, but I only responded because I was told infant baptism was wrong. I was not converted from my old lifestyle like I have heard you preached. I went back to those things I used to do before. Sir, do I need to repeat my baptism? My spirit keeps telling me that I need to go back and re-baptize now that I have a better understanding of the Christian life. And that's why my spiritual life is not steady. Shalom. The truth is this. There is a right water baptism, there is a wrong water baptism. A wrong water baptism includes infant baptism, includes baptism by immersion, calling on titles instead of the name of the Lord Jesus. But first and foremost, you are not supposed to go for water baptism until you have repented. So if you have not repented and you go for water baptism, it is a wrong baptism. Now that you have decided to repent, go and correct it. Go back to the water and re-baptize. God bless you. Yes.
Sir, my question is, they say it was last week I was with my friend. They were like, why am I not putting on earrings? I say, no, ma, I don't like it. They say, why they are putting on earrings is because when Israelites was leaving Egypt, that God told them to pack all their jewelry and gold and other things, that earrings and necklace is not a sin. But I want to understand, how is it a sin?
That what?
Earrings
and necklace.
Who necklace? Said
that it is a sin?
Yes.
I want to understand your question again.
As in, how is it a sin?
How is it a sin?
Yes.
Now, it is a sin because it is strange in Israel. The Israelites were not known with wearing earring. Whose earring did they collect when they were going? It was Egyptians' earrings that they collected, and did not collect them to use them. They collected them so that they will melt the gold to make the Ark of the Covenant. It was for a purpose of worship. They didn't collect them to go and use them. It was part of the wealth. And in Genesis chapter 35, Jacob had made a vow. Let me read it. And God said from verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. See the response now, verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. What did he say? Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Among the things they put away, he said, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. So among the strange things in Israel is a woman wearing earrings, a man wearing earrings. Why? Exodus 21 let us know that earring is the identity of a slave that refused freedom. And in Judges chapter 8, We saw where they collected the earrings of the people. Gideon says, because the people were Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites, because they were Ishmaelites, that's why they had earrings. And who is Ishmael? He was son of the bondwoman. It was the identity of people under bondage. Praise God. And in this age, the Holy Spirit tells his daughters, don't put that thing on. To start with, God is against us putting any mark or cutting in our skin. And earring is part of the cutting we do with our skin. God hates tattoo. God hates any mark or cutting on our skin. He says it's abomination. I think that's Leviticus chapter 19. It's abomination. You don't do that.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. What about them painting and putting on attachment?
That is a masquerade spirit now. The person is possessed. Is possessed with masquerade spirit.
Okay, so what about ring?
Ring. The Bible didn't say anything about ring. What the Bible says is all those earring and all those things that make you look like a man that enter a shop where they have coins. You enter with magnet. You go cap, 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 cap. Then you are coming out. Everywhere is deck, 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 deck. That is not the identity of a Christian. Be as natural as possible. And anything you put on, you must be able to explain the reason. For the motive is what God judges. Why are you putting this on? I am putting wedding ring on. Because it reminds me of a vow I have exchanged with a woman. Nothing more. And it is not a doctrine. It's not a commandment. It's just a tradition. Nothing more. And a woman whose hair, for any reason, has turned to Gorimakpa, and she takes a wig and puts on, she has not committed sin. Because that is the purpose why she puts it on. And every sister you know, every human being you know, whatever you put on, there is a reason you are putting that on. There is a reason. You went to do your hair in a certain style, it's because you saw one Hollywood star on the television, on a picture, in a magazine. You want to look like that. That's what Peter said, we should not look like that. That should not be our identity. When you see a woman wear cloth and tighten her dress, do you think the material was short? That's why? There's a reason. She put tight cloth and she's going to office or she's going to church. There's a reason. Isn't it? It's advert. Only prostitutes dress like that. Because they have something to market. A virtuous woman will not do that. No, that's the truth. And when you see somebody making up, they call him makeup. It is because there's a deficiency. It is because she's ugly. So she's making up for her ugliness. But those who are naturally beautiful, they want to show that they are born beautiful. They are beautiful. They are beautiful. Eh? When you see a lady wear high heel shoe, you know there's a reason. There's a reason they wear high heel now. It is not just to increase their height. It is to rebalance themselves. There's something they want to show. When they climb, they show it. They know what they are doing. There's a reason. Christians won't dress like that. Christians will not dress like that. Praise the Lord. Okay. I think I've answered you. Who is? Yes?
Praise the Lord.
From Libya, Ogochukwu Are you waiting to cross the desert, cross the water? Are you waiting to cross to Europe? Shalom, you say that. So you said that there is the man Jesus and the name Jesus in one of your exhortations. Please, can you explain the difference? God bless you, sir. There is the name and there is the man, and people confuse it. The man Jesus is that human being that was born through the virgin birth. The name Jesus is the name of his father that he gave him. Because the father was in him, he placed his name there. So anytime you call the name Jesus, you are actually calling the name of the father. For that is the name of the father for salvation. And he's saving through his son. So anytime you say Jesus, don't just look at that man that hung on the cross, that died and resurrected. When you call that name Jesus, always watch what you are referring to. That is the name for salvation. It is the name of the creator of the heavens and the earth. And Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 says that is the family name in heaven and on earth. That's why we are called by that name. Hallelujah. That is why we are called by that name. And that is the reason why at the mention of that name, every knee bows, including heaven, because it is the name of the creator of the heavens and the earth. God bless you. Ask your question.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I want to thank God for this bright television.
Amen.
It's awesome. Because last 2 years ago, we found it in our house, and there is no. I told my wife she should stop all these churches in the television because I don't know what they are doing. But when my wife come one day and says, sit down, let us watch, I say no. But one day, I don't know what college, you know, I want to study because I'm a preacher. I want to study where we preach tomorrow and the Spirit of God says you on our own. When I hear the message, I know something else.
Clap your hands now, especially those of you sponsoring this television.
One of the things that I understand, number one, the message of Trinity, because after our message, sometimes we meet an awesome man and we ask us question, how our God is three, three and one. Oh. Now, before we begin to narrate the story, the man himself will get confusion. Confusion will come inside. No, when I came to this light, I begin to know who is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That is nothing like three.
If you know Jesus, clap your hands now. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God in the flesh.
Secondly, the baptism. And according to the Bible, we must do it the way they do it. Anybody that didn't understand it, that one left for him. But I understand it, that we must do it according to the apostle.
Uh-huh.
And me and my wife have come to do our own in the name of Jesus. In this place, praise the Lord. My small question, the place that is confusing me, is I ask two questions. This First John chapter 5 from verse 17, that said that all unrighteousness is a sin, but there is no sin unto death. I don't understand that phrase. I want you to clear
it. There is sin unto death, and there is sin not unto death. And he said, you should not pray for the sin that is unto death, because no prayer will bring forgiveness. And in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus Christ spoke about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He said it is a sin that will not be forgiven here or hereafter. So that is the sin that even in death, it follows you to death. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
And one of my brother helped me. He said that I should help him to ask questions. That he has been going to church. He has been going to church, and one of the day he has a in another church, they has program, they invited him, and when he go there, while returning back, the now church now give her a suspension. Is he light?
Because he went to another church.
Because he went to another church.
So are we one? Are we one? And see the hypocrisy. That church he belonged to may even be a member of the Christian Association of Nigeria. So you see the hypocritical unity they have. It is wrong. It is wrong for any pastor to stop members from going to other churches. It is wrong. What we are supposed to do is to establish the people when they come, so that anywhere they go, they will be able to know the right place and the wrong place. And there is no church that is a gateway to heaven. The only gateway to heaven is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. No church is a gateway to heaven. But because churches have become business centers, they don't want to lose their members. And a pastor that is afraid for his member to visit other churches is because he has no confidence in what he has to keep his members. So they use all those coercive means of keeping the people. There are people that voluntarily on their own entered a church. When they want to leave, they cannot leave. If you belong to such a situation, you have been bewitched. You enter freely. Why can't you leave again freely? I attended 4 different churches. I didn't pray before I left any of them. I remained there until when I was discontented with what was going on, until I found another place. And immediately I found another place, I did not waste time. I went to the pastor the next day. Pastor, last Sunday is the last time me and my family will be coming to your church. I want to thank you for all your contribution to my spiritual life. He said, why? I said, I've discovered that my spiritual life, I'm not growing anymore. I want another pastor. I want to try another pastor. I was leading them in song worship in their former church. I worshiped there for 5 years. When I discovered one church at Somoli, they used to start their own 12 o'clock. I would finish song worship by 11:30 for the pastor to come in and preach. Whenever I know they have any teaching and I want to listen to, as they finish song worship, they hand over microphone and they signal my wife and my children. Car park. We enter, we go. One day he called me. I discovered, Brother Moses, that this is what you do. I said, oh yes. There is a church, it's also so place. Anytime I hear they have any teaching, I want to hear them, I go there. Am I wrong? Have I broken any scripture, sir? He was looking at me. Have I broken any scripture, sir? Going to that place? He knew where I was going. And he quickly told me, he said, no, I know you are matured enough. You know the right and wrong. I said, well, thank you, sir. I thought I have broken any scripture. I have freedom to go where I want to go. All this nonsense, the people use coercive means and they manipulative something and bind people to a place. You are in a church, you are not in fellowship, yet you remain there. It's not only there, there are some that it is the pastor that bind them. Then there is some that it is just a contrary character. Because even in Bride Assembly here, there are people that are members of this church, but they don't like this church. You have a serious psychiatric problem. They are the ones, when we finish now, from here to the reach bus stop, they are speaking against the church as soon as they go for bus stop. Don't mind them. Little way they talk, that way they talk. Now in pocket. Don't mind them. Who forced you come? You don't like a place, yet you keep coming. You are either an agent or you have a psychiatric problem. You don't like a place, get out. You don't like this place, get out. This place is not for everybody. I am not pastor of everybody. If God made me a pastor, he will give me my sheep. My sheep will stand with me. If I make mistake, they will approach me. If they discover I don't want to change, they will fast and pray for me. Because they have discovered this is the man God has given to pastor me. I say this anywhere I go, I preach, especially in the end time message churches. They call it, that is spiritual fornication. Spiritual fornication is not going from church to church. Spiritual fornication is going to Christ and going to Babalao. That is the spiritual fornication, not church to church. You are free. The body of Christ is one. You are free to go to any church you feel like the Spirit wants you to go today. And there you go. Go there. But if you go and you carry something else, be ready to fight that thing you carry when you enter there. Now you carry yourself, go there. Amen. Yes.
Thank you.
I mean, hurry up, one prayer. Your time don't go. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
On the screen again, Akwa Ibom. Okoro from Akwa Ibom. Please, sir, I have a problem with this teaching that once saved is always saved. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, he who say he is saved should take heed lest he falls. It didn't say he who thinks he's saved. It said he who thinks he stands. It said he who thinks he stands. And the Bible said the righteous falleth. How many times? But he surely rise again. Amen. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. God has a book of life. And he has the names of everyone that will be saved. That is the book. That is the book of eternal life. And when did he write those names there? When did he write those names there? He wrote your name there the day you gave your life to Christ. The day you came to the altar. The day you received the Holy Ghost. When did the Bible say he wrote that name? My name was written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And only those whose names are there that will be saved. God is not a human being that he will save you and hope that you will not disappoint him. No. You have to understand salvation. Please get that teaching. I have taken it in detail. There's no time. If you catch it, you will understand John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Then you will understand Romans chapter 8, from verse 28 to verse 30. Brings it out clearly. And once, John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, no one can come to Christ except the Father draw you. Oh, that's another mystery. And yet he said, come to me, all ye that labor. That call is for his own. For the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Because he is God, not a man. Sometimes you claim to be saved when you are not saved. That's why he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And some people are saved by assumption. Don't assume salvation. You have to ensure salvation. Praise the Lord. The mystery of redemption is deep. Yes.
Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, there is a scenario that took place that I have been feeling guilty. And during our prayer group meeting, our preacher also increased it. And I was like, am I really guilty of this?
What's the question?
He said, when your enemy died without you preaching to that your enemy, he said that, and that man did not receive Christ, that you being a Christian will be demanded of that person's soul.
Look, don't go further. It's not only the person that taught you. Maybe the person has a deeper life background.
Okay.
Listen. Luke, what do you call it? John chapter 6, verse 44, where I quoted now. Really, some people may not know that scripture is there. It says, can we read John chapter 6, verse 44? Listen. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I, Jesus, will raise him up at the last day. Anybody that dies without receiving Christ is because God did not draw him. And God could use you, and he decided to use human beings to preach the gospel. And for your information, before that person died, he must have heard gospel from everywhere. So it's not you. You will only be guilty, and not even guilty for his soul. You will be guilty of disobedience before God if God tells you go and do something and you refuse. But concerning the salvation of a soul, your refusal cannot stop God from saving him. He will still save him if his name is in the book of life.
Yes, because he was backing it up with Ezekiel chapter 3 from verse 18, which says, when I said unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand.
Yes, that is, he will punish you for disobedience. That's all.
Okay. What about in a situation where God opened your eyes to see an iniquity that's befallen either someone or a nation, and you were not given a commandment to go and warn that person? So if such iniquity comes to that nation or that...
You have disobeyed now if you didn't go, and you would pay for it. Simple.
Okay, because my own justification was either a prophet picked up a lady and then said, the Lord said that he will heal you of this illness. So, and while I was sitting, the Spirit of God told me to go and place my hand on that sister and pray for him. But I was like, a prophet have already told her that she will be healed.
But did the prophet tell the person how he will be healed?
No, he just told him.
So he said you'll be healed, and you didn't know whether you'll be healed through a doctor or through your own prayer or through some other means. So when God said go and pray for somebody, go and pray for that person. Okay. Do your own. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Yes. I have been at the altar here on several occasions, on countable occasions, where I see a prophet giving somebody a message that the person needs deliverance. And all he tells is that the Lord said, it is done, it is over. Your problem is over. But he didn't tell him how it will be over. And then I stand at the altar, and I'll tell the coordinator, bring that person back here. And then I conduct deliverance on the person. And I have not broken scripture by doing that. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Shalom, church.
Amen. Okay, on the screen again, Brother Prince, again from Libya. Please, Pastor, good morning, please. Can someone be a real born again without going out for evangelism, preaching the gospel? Now, when you are born again, every one of us, we should go and witness to unbelievers around us. It is also evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. It will come with compassion. For God is love. He that loveth is of God. The love of God in you will not be happy to see unbelievers around perishing like that. The burden that will come, you want to share the salvation you have with people around you. That you are saved and you remain comfortable in your house and watch sinners, something is wrong with that experience. Every one of us is supposed to go and witness in our places of work, in wherever we find ourselves, in the car, in the bus stops, wherever, you're supposed to do something to share. In the internet, you know, social media, share your experience with someone to let them know there is a God that saves. And this world needs God, needs Christ. So you can't say you are born again and you are comfortable that only you are born again. Your relations are not born again. Nobody is born again. Only you. and we question that type of experience you have. God bless you.